The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
My name is Raya, and this is Was That Good For You, a podcast all about sex and relationships. We cover everything from kinks to long-distance dating and everything in between. Today's topic is modern love, and today's guest is...
Julia Fay.
What do you do?
I'm a performer.
Yeah.
I am also a makeup artist, so I do a lot of different forms of art, from performance to creating characters. I paint, I draw...
All the creative things.
Yeah.
I love that. And you do like clown stuff, right?
Yeah.
Can you elaborate a little on that? Because I was just talking to a friend who was like, I met this guy and like he's super cool. And he does, is it clowning? Is that like what you say?
Yeah.
You say it. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh my God, I know someone and him and his girlfriend do clowning. I'm very interested in it.
It's something I really love. It's definitely my life passion.
Okay.
I've been doing it for a couple years, like in an official sense.
Yeah.
I think the more I found out about it, the more I just feel like I've always been doing it without necessarily the lexicon to talk about it.
Yeah.
But it's, clowning is essentially performance without a fourth wall.
Okay.
And it's a state of vulnerability and honesty to emotion. I love that. Yeah.
That's amazing. So before we get into the episode, today's word of the day, I thought was very fitting, is polyamory. For anybody who doesn't know, polyamory is the practice of engaging in multiple sexual relationships with the consent of all people involved.
Yes.
Yes. All my words of the day usually have nothing to do with the podcast episode. I just try to find really fun, interesting ones that might like be interesting to people.
Uh-huh.
But once in a while, if one fits really well, and this was perfect.
Well, I'm curious about that one, actually, because it's specific to sexuality.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if I agree with that, because I think polyamory, from my understanding and experiences, come from a place of like amory, which is love.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this acknowledgement that you can have love for multiple people.
Yeah.
Which has been really important in my just understanding relationships at large,
because
you know, you can have love for people you're not necessarily with.
Yes.
Be they in the past or you never know them or whatever it is. And in a lot of relationships, you have to kind of conceal that. It's like taboo to have those feelings.
100%.
And I think with polyamorous relationships, it's about being honest about those things.
Yeah.
Whether or not you're sexually involved or however.
Yeah, it is. Definitely. I was at dinner last night with a friend and we got on the topic of like love, and I was kind of saying something along that same sentiment, which is just like, I feel like, not that love isn't like a big deal, but I feel like people put so much weight into it, and it's like, I feel like I fall in love all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like I'm in love with a lot of people, or I feel like I can safely say that I've like been in love and maybe that person and I weren't even in like a committed relationship. But I feel like there's so much weight around like saying I love you or like being in love, and it's this big thing. And like, not that it's not important, but I think that we need to like take some weight out of it. And it can be this thing where it's like, it's okay to like love multiple people or to like have love for people or like be able to say I have love for you. Maybe I'm not in love with you yet, but like, I feel like that L word, right? It's like such like a big deal. And
yeah.
It's like, I wish it was less of a big deal.
Yeah.
Because I want to say it all the time. Like, it's like one of those, whenever somebody does something like funny or silly or something that I like find very like endearing, my like thing is I'm always like, ah, I love you. Like, I just say it. And so a lot of times I have to like stop myself if I'm like dating someone like early on.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll like do something cute. And my instinct is, just because I say it all the time, is like, ah, I love you. And I have to like not do that. But I wish that I could.
Do you feel like if you say it, it implies also that you want some sort of commitment?
Yeah.
Like that you're going to freak him out and they're going to be like,
especially,
oh,
specifically,
God.
I think with like straight men,
mm-hmm.
it's like, it's a very scary word.
It can also still be weighty but not have all these like other connotations.
Right.
Which I think is interesting and goes into like the subject of polyamory and non-monogamy, in that we have this really specific structure of what we think relationships are and how we've been raised. And I think it's really has been really important for me to try to break that down.
Yes.
So that I can have a relationship where I'm deciding what it is, mm-hmm. And not just kind of like plugging myself into this assumed format.
Right. So how did you grow up like religious at all or like anything like that?
Not necessarily. I grew up like spiritual.
Okay.
I went to a church pretty regularly that was a non-denominational church.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And let me think. Yeah, I don't feel like religion has really tied into like those specific things. I think it's been more like media and
okay.
those sorts of educators of what relationships are.
Yeah, for sure. So do you feel like when you were younger, you were more into like the idea of having a very traditional relationship and you had to like teach yourself to not be that way?
Oh my God. Yeah, my first boyfriend was when I was 3 and he gave me a ring.
Oh my goodness. I love that story. I love that.
I've like essentially been in a form of a romantic relationship since then. Okay. I maybe had like a break from like 2nd to 6th grade. But
like, it's your longest break.
Yeah, my longest. found myself.
Did a lot of soul searching, you know. Yeah. 3rd grade, really pivotal.
Learned
time.
Learned math. Yeah.
And how to love yourself.
Yeah. So I definitely had like this kind of like this string of relationships and in high school, very monogamous relationships.
Yeah.
And honestly, part of me kind of veering away from words like boyfriend and girlfriend and those things now comes from a place of at the time seeing it as like a way to protect myself from others.
Okay.
It's like so much easier to stop the advances of other people and just like have friends that are just friends if you're like, oh, I'm taken.
Right.
And so practicing polyamory has been a journey for me too to like learn how to not say that.
Yeah.
And be more honest, like force myself to be honest when people hit on me to be like, oh, I'm just like not interested in you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God, that's so funny because I'm seeing someone now and we're exclusive and we're monogamous, but I've always been really traditional in my relationships, and I do think that for me, I grew up I went to private Catholic school from 3 to 18, which says a lot about my career choice now. But it definitely had it ingrained in me that it was like you had to do things like one way, mm-hmm. right? And it was like, have a boyfriend and have them like court you, and then you guys are together, and then at a certain point you'll get engaged, and then you know what I mean, like this very very yeah. strict kind of way that things should be,
right.
And so I've been a serial monogamist as well, and in this relationship there's definitely been times where I'll be talking to like girlfriends and stuff, and they'll be like, so like, is he your boyfriend? And I'm like, I don't know, like I don't really care, I don't know, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And I've had a hard time, I guess, explaining why I don't care anymore. But I think it's for me, it's just like, what, where did that word come? Like I think for me, it's always felt like, you're mine now. Once we have this title, you're mine. Mm-hmm. And like, it's this kind of possessive thing. And mm-hmm. not saying that everybody who uses those terms are like in an unhealthy thing or it's possessive. But I think for me specifically, it's been like, cool, now you can't talk to other girls. You know what I mean? It was like this kind of unhealthy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a talk about being exclusive. And that's kind of all I needed. Like, I didn't like... And
I love that.
And it's like, I don't need to put a label on it. And there was even a conversation where he was like, should I be introducing you as my girlfriend? And I was like, I don't really care, to be honest. You can call me my name. Like, you can just say, this is Rhea. And like, that's perfectly fine with me. And I like don't need anything more than that.
Yeah.
Which is new for me to not care about that.
It's been so healthy for me to have a relationship like that.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, you introduce someone as their name. My relationship prior to this one that I'm in now, which I've been in for a couple of years, we were such an item in other people's like minds,
yeah.
And it was so like every introduction was like, this is my boyfriend or like person or whatever,
yeah.
And it created a really unhealthy foundation for like, I think, growth,
mm-hmm.
Individually and collectively, to have your identity wrapped up,
yeah,
in somebody else.
Yes.
And harder to walk away too if once you realize maybe it's not working.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I feel like there are times in relationships that I've been in and other people where they get out of it and they say like, I don't know who I am now, like mm-hmm. without this person. And that kind of goes back to that too. It's like your whole identity becomes like, I am blah, blah, blah's girlfriend.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I think, and when I think back to like high school when I really wanted a relationship like that, I think part of it was seeing older like seniors who had that, and there's like a status to it.
Yeah.
Like there's a status to successful coupledom.
Right. Oh yeah. Right. I mean, yeah. Even now it's goals. Right.
Right.
It's like couple goals. Right. It's like a thing.
And it's fascinating because a lot of people, my relationship in the past got really unhealthy for a while, and now when I go back home, I'm from Hawaii, and talk to friends who haven't seen me in a while. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting because they thought that same thing of like hashtag couple goals was like Julia, and it's really bizarre because I felt really trapped by those things,
yeah,
and by those labels and these like assumptions,
yeah,
and you know, relationships can have ebbs and flows in a way that I think is so important to acknowledge.
Yeah.
I'm currently practicing monogamy.
Okay.
And it has been, I think it's been a really interesting experience. It's something that I told my partner a couple months ago, that I was going to start practicing monogamy for like my own experience.
Okay.
And, I think because I was able to step away from that idea for so long, now I feel confident in like building the blocks of relationship that I want,
yeah,
and less insecure and in my head about like, oh, what does this mean? And like,
yeah,
where is this going? And all these thoughts that whirl around.
Right. So did you guys start off non-monogamous?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And then you decided at one point that you wanted to be monogamous.
I think on my end, I do for now.
Okay.
And I think that's the framing of it has been important for me. Mm-hmm. I was out with a gal that I was dating, and I realized that I wasn't like being honest with like my mind and my body, and that,
okay,
like I was continuing to practice polyamory when I think it just really wasn't where I was at anymore.
Okay.
In that moment,
yeah,
in time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think framing it in a way of like, I know I'm practicing it for me, and I told my partner that, and it's not like really an agreement between us.
Right.
Has been also important because I don't have like this panic of like, if I change my mind or if things change or vice versa.
I think it's really beautiful that he let the decision be up to you. And it wasn't like at this point we have to be monogamous, or like, mm, I'm insecure and so we have to be monogamous, because that's such a one-sided thing. Like, I'm insecure so you cannot do this anymore.
Yeah.
And it was more of just like, you made the decision yourself.
Yeah.
Which I think is really nice.
Which I so needed. And I'm so grateful for him over like the past couple of years of just in general, like being supportive of anything I really need to do and being like up for all the communication,
right,
and stuff that requires, which can be frustrating and complicated.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate it, because I don't think I would have gotten to a point where I feel this comfortable in a relationship had I not had that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know where it was, but I stumbled upon this like skit on like YouTube or something, and it was about polyamory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I've always been in monogamous relationships, and I am in one now. It's not even happening, but even talking about my need for it at some point, like, it never ceases to amaze me that the people that come at me very like shocked or judgmental, and mm, I get this, I say this all the time on the podcast, but like sometimes I feel like I have to take myself out of the bubble that we live in, which is LA, which is like everybody's like creative and like open and like cool and or at least that's like what you think, you know what I mean? Like sometimes I'm like, I'll read a statistic and it's so shocking to me, but I have to remember that there's like middle America exists.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's like I'm like, wait, yeah, everybody's like not like, you know what I mean, doing these same things I'm doing or has the same thoughts. But even here, I get hit all the time with like, oh, well, like, and that was the point of the skit. The girl was like, oh, that girl over there is really cute. And her friends were like, aren't you like still dating blah, blah, blah? And she was like, yeah, but we're open. And the girl was like, oh, man, well, I could never do that. And the girl hit back and she was like, well, nobody asked you. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
I wish I could say that every time. Because I get hit
wonderful
with that all the time. I'll be like, oh, yeah, I really want to be like open at some point, and like maybe in this way and in this way. And I always get hit with like, I could never do. And it instantly just like, they're not even doing it in a mean way.
Right.
Or they don't even realize
their,
yeah,
experience or opinions.
Right. And it always like makes me feel a little bit like, ugh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I love that she like hit her back with like, well, nobody asked you.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things too that I think I have seen couples go from being open to monogamous or vice versa or whatever. And I feel like an issue a lot of the times I see them run into is they feel like once they've made a decision, they have to stick to
mm-hmm
it. like I said, on either side. Like, right. they'll be monogamous, they'll decide to be open, and then, like, maybe they don't like it, but now they feel, like, stuck. And it's, mm-hmm. like, there's nothing wrong with trying it and then not liking it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a beautiful perspective, and I think important for people to grab onto.
Yeah, because yeah. I think that's, like, a lot, like, what I've seen the most in terms of it not working is because people, like, are like, well, we're in this now. I guess we're, this is my life.
Right. I mean, there have honestly, this, I've only been practicing monogamy for a couple of months, but there have already been conversations of being, like, is this right?
Right.
Because of, honestly, because LA is so complicated and, like, everyone is so busy yeah. and it's hard to, like, get all your needs and see someone regularly.
100%.
And there's a lot of, like, realisticness to, like, taking the weight off of one person to have to fulfill a lot of your needs when you can maybe only see them, like, once a week or whatever.
Right.
And that might not be enough for some people.
Yeah.
And so I think that's also why there's this, like, leaning trend towards non-monogamy in places like LA.
Yeah.
Because, like, what, you're just, like, not going to be with someone at all if you, like, can only see them once a week, but you need romantic cuddling or whatever you do need a couple times, and you
right.
know that about yourself.
But that's such an interesting perspective. I feel like that could be even, like, related to, like, love languages.
Mm,
like,
yeah.
maybe somebody really, really fulfills, like, one aspect of, like, your love language but not another. And, like,
mm-hmm.
maybe it's not the worst thing to have, like, other people that can, like, fulfill all of those things.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll jump back into that. But, yeah, I guess I've never thought about it that way, about, like, this person gives me, you know, I need A through F, and this person gives me A through D,
mm-hmm.
and I need somebody else to give me, like, E and F.
Yeah, I think that's been part of my voyage into mm-hmm. it, is I've been in the kink community for, I want to say, like, 9 or so years.
Okay.
And so it's also important, I know that about myself, and I know I have certain needs that maybe my partner might not be interested in.
Okay.
I'm also pansexual, and I, like, love the company of both women and have liked the company of men more and more
yeah.
these days. And so there are like elements of that
right.
I think are really important. And also just, like, also conversational topics and this, that, the other. I know a lot of people that practice monogamous relationships don't have a lot of male friends. A lot of women a lot of women who practice monogamous relationships, I've noticed, often don't end up having a lot of other male friends.
Yeah.
So that's back to, like, fulfilling needs that aren't necessarily sexual
yeah,
as well.
Absolutely.
And being able to, like, be okay nurturing those loves and relationships so you can get other things out of them.
Right. Do you feel like non-monogamy is more, I don't necessarily want to say important, but... I'll use it because I can't think of another word
yeah.
for queer people, because you might feel like you need to, like, explore certain parts of your sexuality more.
I would be so interested in seeing a statistic on it.
Yeah.
I think from my experience, I come across both. I come across a lot of my friends that are queer are absolutely hardcore monogamous.
Yeah.
Very much so. And then I come across some that aren't and are more open to
okay.
other ideas.
Okay. Because I feel like I've met some women who, specifically when, like, in my experience, when a woman wants to open up a relationship, a lot of times I've noticed it's because she wants to explore her sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I hate this, usually the man is okay with that because, I don't know, because lesbianism is so fetishized. So they're like, yeah, I guess it's cool, but only if you're fucking women, which... I hate, and that can be a whole other topic.
yeah.
But I've noticed so much that it's, like, this need to, like, explore
mm-hmm.
that kind of is the catalyst for opening up relationships. And even with me, I actually don't know, but I wonder if I wasn't, because I am pansexual as well, if I was straight, if I would still have that need
right.
to, like,
yeah.
open myself up to the world. More?
Yeah.
I would love to see a statistic too. I don't know if that exists, but it would be really, really interesting.
I think it's relevant, and I think also, like, that goes into, like, kink natures. Like, I'm a switch, and so I think, and I tend to top with women and bottom with men. And
okay.
so I think there's also an element of, like, there's just not just gender roles, but, like, an aspect of how I express my sexuality
yeah.
that will, like, that I want to express.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that shifts and is different.
Absolutely.
And so having the option to have that is important. And even now that I'm practicing monogamy, I feel, because I've had such amazing communication with my partner, I feel comfortable in that, like, if I have those needs and they become a priority in my life at some point again or whatever, that I could open that up.
And you feel comfortable that you could?
Yeah, I do. I think I was telling my roommate that I was, she was asking me about this idea of mine of practicing monogamy. And I was like, well, it's like my version of monogamy, which made her laugh a lot. But it's like, because I do think that's the important thing about it.
Yeah.
Is like, and that was what's been so beautiful about stepping away from it is now kind of like not even stepping back into it, just like starting to use these words that society uses at large to communicate where I'm at feels less daunting in this way of me like subscribing to a religion.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. On that note, I feel like I've had this, like, I've been grappling lately with this, and I don't know if I'm just, like, in a pessimistic mood or whatever lately, but I've been grappling with this idea of, like, are we, like, meant to be with someone for quote-unquote forever, mm-hmm. right? Or, like, are we meant to be with one person for the rest of our lives? And if not, how do we combat that while also, like, fulfilling this, like, I think very human need to have like a partner in your life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's been something I've like very, very much struggled with. I think growing up, again, going back to like the way that I was raised or whatever, or society, I always was just like, I believed in like a soulmate and like you're gonna find your one person and then you guys are gonna be together forever and things are gonna be perfect because that person's made for you. And like, fuck, that's a lot of pressure to like put on a relationship, because then you go into every relationship thinking that that is your forever person. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it puts so much pressure on it versus I feel like with what you're practicing, it's like we're gonna do this now because this feels right for both of us and makes us, you know, feeds us.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in 3 years or 3 months something different will feed us, and I feel like that's going to make your relationship, like any relationship, last so much longer.
Yeah,
because you're allowing each other to change. And you're allowing your wants and needs to change,
mm-hmm.
without necessarily needing like that person to be out of your life, versus in like a very strict monogamous relationship. It's like your needs change, and like usually your first thing is like, well, now we have to break up because my needs have changed, or because I'm finding myself attracted to other people, or because we were sexually compatible and now I kind of want to try to do something else and you're not into that. And if it was more of like an open thing of like, well, let's just pivot the relationship and change the relationship versus feeling like we have to end it and try a new relationship,
mm-hmm.
I feel like things might last longer.
Yeah, I've felt that. I had that same kind of stigma about relationships and the one and like this like forever feeling,
yes.
which I would like carry into my relationships with such gravitas. And
yes.
Just, like, this is it. and the way that I met was through Clown,
mm-hmm.
and simultaneously as I got to know him, there was like this lesson I was learning with acting and with in general with acting and with performance, that nothing is precious.
Okay.
And that applies to acting in the sense of like your ideas or even the words that you're saying, like you can't be beholden to what they might mean, because when in the moment that you're actually acting, you have to be so aware and responsive to the reality of the moment.
Okay.
And so in turn, I've kind of transposed those ideas into my relationship and not treating anything like it's precious. It's wonderful and beautiful, but it's not this thing I have to cradle. It's not going to break. It's not ceramic. Like, we are human beings that live in this like tremendous universe together.
Yeah.
And we can kind of make it whatever we want it to be.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of like my biggest, I feel like, theme of the podcast is like, there are no rules,
mm-hmm.
anymore.
Yeah. Which is so cool.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. It's so amazing. Like, every single relationship, and even I think especially every open relationship or polyamorous relationship, is so different. And I think, mm-hmm. a lot of people who aren't super educated on it or don't have any experience in it, like, they hear one story about one open or polyamorous relationship or whatever, and they think that that's what that definition is. And every single person I know who is in a non-traditional relationship it's like, this is like the dumbest way to say it, but like, they're snowflakes. Like, every single one is completely different, whether that's, you know, we have like this rule, or I only do this and like he does that, or like whatever the case is. It's like every single one is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that lends itself to this idea of like, especially people who are open to being in traditional relationships, you understand that there are no rules and like we're making this kind of up as we go along.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if you start, I think that's the coolest part. You go in with this like communication level, and if in other relationships I've had that are more traditional, so to speak, you're both agreeing to what you think this other person already agrees with.
Yeah.
Like, you think there's these invisible rules and they also believe that,
yes.
too, without ever talking about it, which leads to so much drama.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool that we live in a world now where it's like communication is so important, and
I know,
build whatever you want to build. And yeah,
the relationship I'm in now is like healthier and more communicative and more less pressure than anything I've ever been in because I have finally, like, am starting to learn to, like, let go of those traditional things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of times people find it weird that we don't, we're, like, a, you know, whatever you want to call it, official exclusive boyfriend and girlfriend, but we don't, like, talk all day. We see each other maybe twice a week or three times a week, and it's like, I'm sure that there's going to be times when we see each other four or five times in a row in a day, or I like won't leave his apartment or whatever, but like, I feel like I used to be in this place where it was like, you're my boyfriend, so we have to talk every day, and we like, if we're both free, we have to see each other, because why wouldn't you want to see me? It like, come, you know what, mm-hmm. I mean, it came to this like insecure thing,
mm-hmm.
and now it's like, yeah, I have nothing to do, and, like, I still don't want to see you, and that doesn't mean that I don't care about you or, like, have love for you,
yeah.
but, like, I am my own person, and that's okay, and he's helped me a lot with that, because it was, like, since the beginning, like, I'd be like, hey, want to hang out? Or he'd be like, I'd be like, what are you doing tonight? He'd be like, oh, I'm, like, nothing, and I'd be like, want to hang out? And he'd be like, no. Like, he wouldn't say in a mean way, but he'd be like, I just, like, need to, like, be by myself tonight. And I had to, like, at first, I was like, that's okay. Yeah, that's fine. And now it's, like, very refreshing,
mm-hmm.
that there's not that pressure again of, like, we have to subscribe to the way that, like, our other relationships have been, or the way that, like, society has taught our relationships to be.
Yeah.
We're two singular people,
mm-hmm.
who, like, choose to spend more time together than I guess we do with other people in
right.
our lives.
Yeah.
And, like, that's it. That's enough.
That kind of, yeah. Yeah, it is. And that kind of stuff, has that kind of honesty, makes me so much less insecure.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
my God.
Knowing
yeah.
that they will say, like, no.
Yeah.
If they want to, makes me way less, like, anxious of, like, oh, my God, is this, like, just because I'm supposed to be here?
Right,
or, like,
exactly.
am I only invited to this because, like, I'm the person that has to get invited to this?
Yes.
Or, like,
we had that conversation, too, where he, in the beginning, he kind of, like, apologized for that. He's like, I'm sorry, like, I'm very singular, and I just, like, kind of need my, as he calls it, time. And I was like, I would so much rather us not be hanging out than us hanging out and me feeling like you just really, really want to be alone. That's like so much worse
yeah.
than to be like around somebody that you know doesn't super want to be around you in
yeah.
that moment. So yeah, that's been interesting. And then also on like the open side, he knows, mostly because everybody knows everything about me because of this podcast, that it's very important to me that at one point in my life I do explore polyamory, mm-hmm. or again some kind of like open relationship, whatever that ends up being with that person. And it doesn't even need to be like an immediate like now start getting other people go, and like, you know what I mean, like
uh-huh.
maybe we like start off, because it's still new to me too. I mean, I'm more educated and open on it, but it's still going to be like a very new thing for me too. And I think it's like, let's explore little aspects of it, like we can pull things from other people we know that have done it, like flirting with other people at a party, like let's see how that feels, you
yeah.
know what I mean, or
yeah.
like threesomes, like let's see how that feels, and like kind of dipping your toes in the water of like one of the most I've said this on the podcast before, but one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard when it comes to these types of relationships was a friend of mine was like, it is so amazing watching your partner be wanted and loved by another person.
It's so true.
And that to me is so enlightened. Like, that's such like an enlightened way to think, because I feel like for so long, women especially have been taught that you have to like, again, have this like possessive control over your partner. Like, men, if you don't, you know, if you're not watching them all the time, they're gonna go and do something, and you like, you have to just like control them.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that for her, it was like letting go of that control and like knowing that they can be wanted and want someone else. And that doesn't take away from your worth.
Yeah.
At all. It doesn't mm-hmm. take away from how they feel about you at all. I think there's a stigma about like, if he loves me 100% and then at one point he like is attracted to this girl, that notches down the percentage that he loves me. But like those two things are not mutually exclusive.
Yeah, definitely.
And again, it's been something that's been like very hard for me to like grapple with doing myself, but still very important for me.
It's honestly been so important for me to figure out how I feel about my person, is being with other people and being accepted for that.
Yeah.
Has been so important to me.
Oh, I'm
like,
sure.
That's
yeah.
been like the biggest turn on ever, has been moments where I like say what's going on with me and someone else, and he's been like extremely supportive and still wants to like get down with me.
That's
and I'm
amazing.
Like, it's so amazing. And it's also been really important to me in like knowing how much I really do want to be with him.
Yeah.
And like it took a long time of seeing other people to be like, yeah, honestly, like I prefer to spend all the free time I have with this person right now because I don't have a lot of it. And I don't think I would feel that way had I not been with other people and had
right.
that happen, which sometimes can make me insecure in the sense of, like, if my partner isn't practicing polyamory, I can get really, like, in my head about that, too, of, like, are you sure? Or are you just, like, doing this thing that everyone's doing?
Right. Or are they doing it just because you want to and not because mm-hmm. they're actually fine with it, but, like, it's less bad than the idea of them losing you.
Right. And I have to just, like, trust that, like, that's their business and hopefully they're taking care of themselves. And in the other ways that I know them, I can say that they are. And right. so it's, like...
And I guess that, too, comes down to, like, just being super open and communicative and being able to have those conversations if there comes a time when the person isn't comfortable with something mm-hmm. or whatever that is versus them just, like, holding it in and hating what's going on, but, like, whatever. Because yeah. eventually it's going to blow up either way, I guess.
Right. Yeah. And... I don't know. I found that, like, imagination things are so much worse.
The
first time I've ever... Do you know what compersion is?
No.
So compersion is the feeling that, like... You know, like, when you're at dinner with your best friend and they're telling you about, like, their new person and mm-hmm. they're, like, so giddy and excited. And, like, in turn, because you love them so much, you get really giddy yes. and excited, too.
Yes.
So that's compersion where okay. you, like, can feel, like... that excitement and love and flirtatiousness kind of through someone else
okay.
and are happy for them.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it's something that, like, more commonly is, like, restricted to friendships.
Yeah.
But in polyamorous relationships, it's there too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I remember before with my last partner, before, because we were monogamous and then opened up our relationship. And I was so in my head and so nervous that I would get jealous mm-hmm. or, like, you know, who knows? I would just, like, didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
When they started seeing other people, and I experienced compersion, which was, like, such a huge relief and yeah. so exciting and wonderful.
Yeah.
And it also in turn became clear to me, because they didn't experience that, like, we were on very different pages of like they wanted to be monogamous and weren't, and I wanted to be polyamorous, and, like, that was, like, one of the giveaways of that is that compersion feeling that I experienced. And there are certain things that I haven't done with my partner now that I'm, like, almost want to do to figure out how that feels. Like,
right.
we haven't had a threesome as of yet. And, yeah. like, there's this, like, sometimes this, I know I love threesomes, so I'm, like, super excited.
Uh-huh.
But also there's a part of me that's, like, oh, what if I freak out if I see them with someone else? Mm-hmm. Or, like, what's going to happen? And I almost want to, like, get that out of the way. Like, do it yeah. get that out of the way.
Yeah,
like,
right?
Imaginations can be so much worse than anything else.
Oh, yeah. I feel like if I'm insecure about something and I don't talk about it with my partner, it will burn down this whole city. And I make it so much worse than it absolutely is every single time. And then we talk about it, I'm like, oh, that's not so bad. That's, like, not near as bad as I thought. And that's, like, an interesting take on threesomes. It's like, if you're interested in it but you're scared, like, maybe you just have to...
Yeah,
dive
just
in.
Rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah, for sure. And then again, it's like, I think people also are like, well, what if we can't come back? Like, that doesn't mean, if you can't come back from it, then maybe the relationship wasn't that strong. You
right.
know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like, you should be able to, if you want to, explore something like that and understand that if it's, like, not for one of you or both of you, that you can just go back to the way things were.
Right,
and
yeah.
that's fine.
And, like, have and know more about what you want, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Instead of making assumptions.
Yeah. I this is so terrible, but a guy friend of mine once who really loves threesomes was like, girls, like, don't like threesomes. And I was like, what? That's crazy. Like, that's ridiculous. And he was like, well, 60% of the threesomes I've had, one of the girls ends up in the bathroom crying.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
That sounds awful.
I know. And I'm like, don't tell that to people. That's a terrifying thing to say. And I'm asking, I'm like, why? Like, why is that happening? And he's like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's, like, a trigger or whatever the case is. But he's like an insane amount of threesomes I've had have ended in one person crying.
I wonder if that speaks to, like, their ability to read the room and, like, know who needs attention at what point.
Yeah. And that too is so interesting when it comes to threesomes, is I've talked to a lot of girlfriends who are, like, slightly interested in the idea, but they're like, what if I'm, like, not getting enough attention? Like,
yeah,
how
yeah.
much attention are you supposed to give your, like, primary partner? Like, you know what I mean? There's
yeah.
like, it's tricky.
I think it comes down to a serious amount of communication.
Yeah.
I had a couple that I would hook up with that I've recently decided maybe not again, because okay. I am super attracted to the woman, and I from what I can tell now, I'm pretty sure they're straight and they're just doing it for their partner.
Okay.
And I can kind of pick up on that vibe.
Okay.
And I wonder also if that has to do with, like, that statistic of, like, women who aren't really doing it for the mutual but, like, wanting both people.
Right.
And thus, it's like harder to really please you if you only want attention from one person that's there.
Right. Then it's just one person having sex with two people.
And right. Exactly.
That's like, I feel like very different things.
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, still very interesting. So how do you feel like technology plays a part in this kind of like new, I guess, I don't know how to explain it, but just like this new like pivot of relationships where people are like opening themselves up to new rules and new ideas of what a relationship is.
I think in a lot of really good ways. I mean, I know for me, I started exploring kink and polyamory first on forums online.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
And like learning so much from asking questions and like reading so much and mm-hmm. having like long distance friendships with like mentors that are in that yeah. world that can answer a lot of questions of mine and
I love that
and what have you. Yeah, so I think that's been like I wonder if before internet how I would have gone about it, like what
right.
I just like
who would you have talked to about it? You can't just like walk down the street and be like, so do you like the things that I let's talk about that together.
Yeah.
And yeah, that makes me really sad because one of the things, obviously, I get a lot of people who watch the podcast who are like, I'm super into this. And it's, like, not, like, again, we don't like kink shame around here, but it's, like, a quote-unquote, like, weird thing, like, mm-hmm. a very weird thing or whatever. And it's, like, I love that person – one thing I love – the internet is equal parts amazing and terrifying. But one amazing thing about it is that there is something for everyone, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you could, like, almost anything, and you will find a community of people who
yeah.
also like that thing.
Yeah.
And not even that you need, like, those people to participate in it with you, but sometimes just knowing that other people – like are into that stuff mm-hmm. is like makes you feel a little bit less alone in the world.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And then also with I think threesome specifically, but like anybody who's like going out and trying to like explore new types of relationships, it's so much easier now with dating apps, and people love to like dog on dating apps and like whatever, Tinder's like, you know, gross and all mm-hmm. this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And dating apps again can be very scary, but it's like I've seen so many people who were like, oh, I'm on here with my girlfriend or I'm on here with my boyfriend. And it's like, it's so much easier now. I had somebody call or write in recently, and they were like, my husband and I have been together since we were 16, and we're both like 40 now, and we want to open it up and like start having threesomes. Like, what the fuck do I do? And this person is like very far removed from modern dating because they've been with the same person, you know what I mean,
right.
since like the 80s or 90s or whatever. And it's like they have no sense of like what a dating, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my advice to them was like, it's so much easier than you think it is. Because her issue was like, it's going to be so hard to like find people. And I'm like, no, dude, get ready. Get ready for how actually easy it's going to be. Even on dating apps, like, and we've talked about this app a lot on the podcast, but Raya, however you pronounce it, which is like an exclusive dating app, you have to be accepted, and it's very, mm-hmm. very bougie. But I've seen people on there who are pretty big in terms of like being like a celebrity or whatever, and they'll say in their bio, like, if you Google me, you will see I'm married, like, it's fine, like, we're doing this together. And stuff like that. And I'm like, I love that.
I love the honesty of that. I love like cutting through the bullshit really quick. I think that's really important, especially when you're just trying to like explore something and you don't want to spend like so much time courting somebody.
Yes.
There's an app called Fields. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I haven't.
It used to be called Thrinder, I think.
Okay.
Which was like take on like threesome Tinder.
Yes.
And then they had to change it a couple years ago because of copyright issues.
Yeah.
And now it's called Field, F-E-E-L-D.
Okay.
And that's been super interesting to me. I like because people, the profiles are so specific and quick and like just honest. And it's
right.
so relieving to be like, my desires are like breastplate implant and like female, female, male or whatever
right.
it is.
Right.
And you can immediately be like, okay, cool. We're compatible or we're not. And like, you're just like, people are really honest. They're straightforward.
I love that.
Yeah. It's such a relief and so amazing.
Yeah. And also it's so, I love that things like that exist because of safety too.
Mm-hmm.
Like even 10 years ago, you maybe had to go on like Craigslist for that
yeah.
and it's like a lot more seedy and like you can't see the person and like there are people on there who are like trying to take advantage or whatever and
mm-hmm.
now it's like because it's so open and because there are entire apps and forums and stuff for it, it's like you feel less bad doing that stuff and like and less safe, you know what I mean? It's like
right.
oh, okay, we're all doing it, it's fine.
Yeah.
I think that's like a big thing too for anybody wanting to explore it. It's like it's more common than you think it is. I think the more I have talked about like my needs and wants and in relationships or like in kink or whatever that is, the more I realize like how much more common it is.
Yeah. And I think that has to do with like us being in a world where we have the internet and all these communications
yeah.
is and because it's also the internet and things like Instagram have opened up this like general thing of self-expression.
Yeah.
I know when I was in high school, I was like one of very few people who took pictures of things.
Okay.
And now that is like literally every high schooler.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so crazy to think about, because at one point expressing yourself at all, like with even like a little bit of like a blurb, if you were to like have a picture of you and a blurb, like you would be an artist.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah, that's true. Or if you took regular pictures, you were a photographer. You were, yeah, you were a blogger.
Right,
you were
like this special thing.
Yeah.
And now it's like everybody's into self-expression and like, which also goes into like introspection and then figuring out what you want and like what makes you click. And I bet you that has a lot to do with it, with people being more open to being like, hey, I want this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, just the fact it's so crazy you saying that, because just the fact that we like put so much of ourselves online has to like correlate to like us being more open about like sexuality and like relationships and stuff. Mm-hmm. Because like I think about like how scared I was of the internet when it was like first getting big, and you would like use a different name, or like you have to be really careful about who you meet on the internet. And now it's like I have a million internet friends and I'm like, yeah, let's get coffee. And I like don't even think about it being like a weird, scary thing. But like it used to be so scary to put any like, don't put any personal information on the internet. And now like everybody knows everything about me, and I love that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people I don't know will send me something like, this is so you. And I'm like, you know what? That is so me. You're right. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that is really nice. And I do think that I'm sure that lends itself to people being more open in every aspect, whether that's relationship or otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On that note, I think we can end it. Thank you so much for being on. This 42 minutes went by very fast.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure. I'm surprised that it's already over.
I know. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave it a good rating. Write me a few words. It really means a lot. If you're watching on YouTube, like this video and subscribe for more. If you guys want to call in and tell us a story or ask an advice question or give me a topic you want to hear in the future, you can call me at 424-245-5102. Leave me a voicemail. If you're not comfortable leaving a voicemail, you can also email me at WTGFYpodcast. That's podcast @gmail.com. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.